The following podcast is a production of Cascadia.fm.
From high above the milkpacking district in beautiful southeast Portland, of all important knowledge everywhere. Wow, that's loud. My name is Dawn Taylor, and I am alongside Mr. Aaron Mesh, who is even now readying a vast swath of happenings, including but not limited to the following.
Oh. Hello.
Hi.
Today we're following a very large meth bust in Vancouver. We're following a renewal of several television series and very important news involving Darren Aronofsky.
Aronofsky news? Say it ain't so.
Oh, hooray.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably. That's a tough word. Demonstrably.
You know what's not a tough word? Aroused.
Prepare yourself. By the way, we are also joined in the studio for special guest commentary by the man who makes all of this possible, Mr. Robert Wagner.
Oh, I thought you were going to call me Rick Emerson. I'm back. It's me.
Surprise. And now, let's go with a little Legion of News. There we go.
In Ashland, Oregon, Oregon State Police say they found more than 14.5 pounds of crystal methamphetamine during a traffic stop. Troopers say they stopped a 2000 Toyota Solera. That's a car?
A Solera? Sure, why not?
Yeah, okay, sure.
You can make up any word there, by the way, and people would believe it's an actual car.
A Toyota Festivus 2000.
Yes.
For a speed violation on Interstate 5 at about 8:15 a.m. on Wednesday. Police say the meth, valued at $300,000, was found inside the car. This story isn't going anywhere, I find. But no. The driver...
They stopped a car. Let me get this straight. They stopped a car.
Yeah.
There was meth in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about where that story ends.
Where was the car when they stopped it?
Ashland.
Okay. And it was...
And the car was worth, what, 1,000 times... No, the meth was worth 1,000 times more than the car. Is that right?
That seems right.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe they were stopping to catch a little Shakespeare?
I would hope
maybe
so.
A new Mammoth play.
I'm trying the meth merchant of Venice.
Okay, let's move on to something else then, shall we?
Two gentlemen of I haven't slept in 12 days.
Oh, the I.
There are jokes here.
There are jokes
there
here.
Are jokes
we're just
to be
kind
done.
Of reach for
yeah,
it.
We're just pushing.
Oh, no, I was kind of going to try to do an Othello thing, because there's a T-H
yeah,
in that and
is.
Meth, but
there
Othello?
Is.
No, I don't know. Vancouver.
Romeo and meth.
Vancouver police say a robber handed a clerk at a tanning salon a note demanding money on Thursday before he ran off with all the bills in the cash register. The robbery was reported at Sunkissed Tan on East 4th Plain in Vancouver. The clerk, Lena Ryabikina, said the man came in.
Say that three times fast. No, seriously, do it.
Lana Ryabikina, Lana Ryabikina, Lana Ryabikina. I think we have a new Obama
for
the drinking game. She said the man came in and wanted to tan, he said. She was helping another customer, and when she came back from setting up that customer's tanning session, the man handed her a note that was a paragraph, 5 sentences long, that detailed that she was not to make a scene, to give him all of the money, and that he had a gun. He'd apparently written everything out very carefully of what she was to do.
Well, that's good of him.
She said the man was quiet and seemed nervous, so she didn't take the threat seriously at first. And here's her quote. She says, "I didn't take it seriously, so I was like, 'Are you serious?' And he was like, 'Yeah.' He kind of took out his gun. As soon as I saw it, I kind of freaked out. I opened the cash register, and I gave him everything I had."
That role was played by a young Reese Witherspoon.
And scene. Next, Mr. Aaron Mesh, what do you got?
For decades, Tufts University students have marked the end of the fall semester by running naked in the cold through the quad. But the tradition of naked quad run came to an end Monday. They're so creative at Tufts University. If you have an event where you run naked through the quad, you call it the naked quad run.
Oh, we mourn the death of naked quad run.
But naked quad run came to an end on Monday with University President Lawrence Bacow saying the school will no longer sanction the event.
Hmm.
That'd be really upsetting because I did it this year for the first time, said one student.
Oh.
It was a really good release from the tensions of finals and everything.
I think he might have been doing it wrong.
I think he might have been doing it right.
Here, Robert Wagner, read story.
A 13-year-old Ohio boy has launched his own line of scented candles meant for men with fragrances that include bacon, New York-style pizza, sawdust, and the smell of a fresh leather baseball mitt. God, I was really hoping that was going to say something else.
Mm.
Chaps. Hart Main of Marysville in Central Ohio says he got the idea for his man cans. Let's let that hang in. Man cans. When he was making fun of his sister for selling candles with girly scents for a school fundraiser. Columbus station WCMH-TV reports he launched his company last Thanksgiving, making the candles using scores of empty cans from soup he donated to a soup kitchen. Hart says so far he's sold 500 candles for $500 each, both online and at local stores. He says he'll have made enough profit to buy himself a nice bicycle.
Aw, how nice. There's no bicycle seat scent candle?
That would be a good one. If it was leather, that would be awesome. I mean, and thankfully he's shooting for the stars. He didn't want to buy a mediocre bicycle.
No.
It's a nice bicycle.
I'm sure it is.
It's a bicycle that smells like things that men enjoy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are actually some jokes about it I'm really excited about that I'm not going to be able to say. Dawn.
Oh, come on. Throw one or two of them out.
I'm pretty sure there are words I can't use on the air.
All right. This is Cascadia. You can use this word. Rick Emerson isn't here. You can say anything you want.
Yeah, we're offended when you don't.
Pussy-scented candles was what I was going with.
Also, his girlfriend's going to ride his nice bike. Move on.
A 50-person boycott of the Huffington Post may have just gained 26,000 new backers. In a statement on Wednesday, the National Newspaper Guild called on members to support a strike started earlier this year by the Visual Arts Source, an organization whose 50 members pledged to stop contributing to HuffPost after it was bought out by AOL. Just as we would ask writers to stand fast and not cross a physical picket line, we want that they honor this electronic picket line, the Guild statement read, asking writers to stop blogging for free. While many outlets don't pay their writers, Representative Rebecca Rosenlum explained the Guild boycott had to do with hypocrisy. Ariana Huffington has been a strong and articulate voice against conservative policies that have helped deal a death blow to the middle class. So what gives, she says. When questioned by the Daily Caller, the Huffington Post spokesperson noted that the site had 143 paid employees on staff and had recently hired 17 more journalists.
I was in an elevator with Ariana Huffington once.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd she smell like?
Lady.
Mm.
We could make a candle. We could harness her essence.
I was an employee of the fine AOL organization.
It was just me and her in the elevator.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, there's there more. Did you touch her?
Nope. Didn't even speak to her. We just stared at each other for four floors.
There was actual staring, though.
It was a little awkward.
Was it?
Yeah. She has a very intense stare.
Why would she even be looking at you? I mean, you're in an elevator. Most people just sort of do
it. It was probably the fact that I was staring at her.
So she was staring you down to keep you from, like, mugging her or something is basically what was happening.
I don't know what the mood was in that elevator.
And then you handed her a sheet of paper with a 5-sentence paragraph on it.
With a proposal for the pussy-scented candle.
And the circle of life continues.
Amen.
Read us a story, Aaron Mesh.
Certainly. This is a short one.
Okay.
Liam Neeson is set to star in Taken 2, reports Deadline.com.
Now, you're supposed to save all of those for the entertainment stuff later.
Oh, we were holding it for categories?
Well, yeah, because we have a whole science section.
There are damned categories?
There's a science. I thought you knew that. Did you not read the memo? I sent a detailed email. There's a science section where we read the science news, and then there's an entertainment section where we do, because on its own, that is not a very good story. But as part...
Part of the magical world of Hollywood.
Right.
It becomes fascinating.
And plus there's music that goes behind it, which makes it sound more interesting.
I see. I was wondering why that story was even on the list.
Now this is the kind of this is the kind of story that is a standalone news story. Okay.
I'd like to apologize to the people who were looking for real hard news there.
Right. See here, members of the Dallas Fire Rescue responded to a call of a choking at an apartment last night. Firefighters arrived to find the front door of the apartment open. They entered cautiously and heard someone calling out to them. When rescuers went to the bathroom, they found a 69-year-old female sitting on the toilet with a toilet paper holder impaled in her neck. Apparently, the woman had trouble breathing, but she was able to speak, and she explained that she had slipped and fallen. She had a history of bad knees, and it's difficult for her to walk. She apparently fell, and the toilet paper holder was just in the right place to impale her neck.
Mm.
So rescuers were worried about the weight of the toilet
paper
holder.
Common household dangers.
Rescuers were worried about the weight of the toilet paper holder, which still had toilet paper on it, and decided to remove it at the scene. They used bolt cutters to cut off the heavy end, and the remaining piece fell out on its own. And the woman is expected to only need stitches. Hooray.
Happy ending.
Happy ending. That'd be kind of a sort of a humiliating call to the police, though.
A female giant panda wandered out of its enclosure at the San Diego Zoo and bit one of its keepers, zoo officials confirmed Monday.
Woohoo! Yeah!
The giant panda, Bai Yun, pushed past an unlocked safety barrier at the panda enclosure and moved into the keeper area Sunday morning. Mm. As panda keepers attempted to move her back inside, Bai Yun bit a keeper, a zoo spokeswoman said. Quote from the zoo spokeswoman, "It is something to remember. Giant pandas appear very cuddly, but they are wild bears."
Actually, they are not bears. They're marsupials.
They are marsupials, but let's just keep going. But they are wild bears, and it is important to remember that at all times. By the way, the fact that this is the San Diego Zoo makes this really, really pleasing to me, because there's a nice Anchorman resonance there that Brick Tamlin somehow is involved in the story at some point. The keeper was treated at a local hospital, but keeper's name and the extent of the injuries were not released, which strikes me as wildly unfair, since
right.
The panda's name, Bai Yun, has been released and said on the air now several times.
Yeah, but don't blame the giant panda.
Yeah, this is a case where I'm going to blame the victim.
Yes.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
I think that's wise.
Yeah.
The General Motors Fairfax Assembly Plant in Kansas City, Kansas was evacuated as a precaution after a suspicious device was found inside the plant. After investigating, Kansas City, Kansas police said the device turned out to be a novelty toy. Police officer Brittany Pruitt said it was a rubber hand grenade. Why would anybody make a rubber hand grenade?
Do the kids need that?
I don't know.
There are pine cones for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need a toy hand grenade.
A shot put. Shot puts are great rubber hand grenades.
Hockey pucks.
Yes.
Big rocks.
Police said they were called to the plant about 7:45 a.m. after a suspicious device was found on the assembly line. 1,000 to 1,500 plant employees were evacuated as a precaution. Employees were allowed back in the plant at about 10:30 a.m.
Okay. There's no word of, like, who had the hand grenade there? Why?
No motivation.
Why would someone bring a rubber hand grenade to work is my question as well.
It's General Motors plant. I can't imagine they're happy people.
Yeah. So, you know, if I don't get another week vacation, I'll bring a real one of these next time.
Yes.
That's what you say.
Yeah.
The listeners can't hear this, but I'm gesturing with my hand in a dramatic manner.
And it's kind of threatening.
Yeah,
it kind of is.
It's
the look in your eye as you do it.
Thank you. Motorists hoping for a scenic drive along the California Coastal Highway will have to wait at least a month. Late Wednesday afternoon, heavy rain caused a 40-foot section of Highway 1 to collapse, partially cutting off the Big Sur region from the peninsula. Nobody was hurt in the accident, but the road will be closed indefinitely. A state official told the Monterey Herald, "It is a place near the ocean, and areas near the ocean are not 100% stable." This was a statement kind of up there with the whole panda bear. Here, wait a minute. We'll play our William Borecki sound to
The biggest thing, of course, is the fact that we find so many candidates. We have over 700. We believe about half of those will probably turn out to be planets.
There we go. Any opportunity to listen. Since we're playing it again, I was so excited. movement, nature, and natural occurrence of slides, that's the cause, he said. Local business owners have begun complaining that the accident is eating into tourist season profits.
Oh, cry me a river. The earth is doing what the earth does,
yeah.
And no one died.
Well, I grew up in the Southern California area, and there's a section of Highway 1 when it goes up around this area called Palos Verdes, and it's one of these bits of road that was built at some point by the Army Corps of Engineers mm-hmm. back in that time period when the Army Corps of Engineers went, we'll just cut a road into the side of this hill that's overlooking the mountain, overlooking the ocean. What could happen?
Right.
They never bothered to actually, you know, do any kind of surveys or anything ahead of time. And so every year they're up there patching and fixing these things because whenever there's just a little bit of an earth tremor or there's like some heavy, heavy rains, suddenly the asphalt just starts cracking like something in a disaster movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when you drive up there, actually, the double yellow lines in the middle of the road are just like wiggly from all of the shifting. It's kind of frightening to look at.
Well, and I hate to bring this up in a show where people go to get away from it all, but it is the Legion of News. So it just seems like, you know, in moments after, say, last Friday, that maybe people should whine less about
their
mudslides.
Yeah, yeah, there are a little bit worse things that could be happening from
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so like last Friday when and by last Friday, of course, I am referring to the tragedy in Brookings, Oregon, in which the entire port no longer exists and like four boats were sunk.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, which I believe was the front page story on the Oregonian.
The important thing is, what about us?
What about us, people?
They're boats, damn it.
There were several private yachts that sunk.
Oh, God.
The yachting weekend in Brookings is ruined.
Ruined!
Ruined, I tell you!
Rich people are suffering?
Rich
Well, now
Oregonians.
I'm upset.
One of those yachts might have been owned by someone who knows Phil Knight.
Oh, the humanity.
Come on.
Damn it!
Family members of an 8th grade student at McDonough City Park Academy in New Orleans said the 8th grade student was put in a cage Tuesday for disruptive behavior. But school officials dispute that characterization.
Do they?
The 14-year-old boy took photos. I'm not naming him because, you know, don't want to ruin his life.
No.
Took photos of the location, which appears.
Use the panda's name. What was the panda's name?
Sure, it was.
Just call him whatever the panda's
Bai
name.
Bai-Yun.
Bai-Yun, yeah.
Bai-Yun took photos of the location, which appears to have been created with floor-to-ceiling fencing in one corner of the room. The structure had a gate and nothing inside it, and somewhat resembles a jail cell, according to the photos. The boy's mother, who we will also not name.
Mrs. Yun.
Said her son was serving an in-school suspension with other students. She said her son told her that he and the other students were put in the cage and left unattended for periods of time, with school officials checking on them periodically. Davis acknowledged that her son has discipline problems, but she said she is willing to work with the school to resolve them, and she was shocked to see where he was placed. This all leads to Mrs. Jun's. By the way, I've already used her name once over the radio,
yeah.
So whatever. This leads to her quote, which is amazing. This speaks volumes to me, she said. It puts things in kids' minds saying you are not worth anything, or it's okay to be behind bars or locked up in a cage. It's so many things, and it hurts my heart because I would not lock my own child in a cage, so I don't appreciate someone else doing it. Parenting, people.
Parenting.
That is successful parenting.
Right.
Don't lock your own children in cages.
No.
Do not be okay with other people locking them in cages.
No.
Well, what is school, really, but a preparation for a child's future life, you know, to find out what it's like to be an adult.
And honestly, a lot of these kids, they deserve to be locked in cages,
yeah.
Really. I mean...
Animals.
Sometimes, I mean, how else will they learn?
Despite all their rage.
Yes. What,
are we saying now that children are any better than pandas? I mean, are we?
That's something to think about.
Yeah.
I am saying that most children that I have met are not a lot better than pandas.
And they're not as fuzzy or cute.
No, they're not as adorable.
No.
And they don't roll around on the ground as
bluntly,
well.
Bluntly, I prefer bears.
They're not bears, though.
I prefer marsupials that resemble bears.
Okay.
There we go. I believe this is a good time for our science news. It's one of the sections we were talking about
earlier. Blind me with science.
And Science News is brought to you by the fine folks at Squires Electric, who you can reach at 503-252-1609. Because when you have electrical things that need to be done and you don't want to electrocute yourself and die, you should call a professional. And they are that. After a six-year, 4.9-billion-mile journey, the NASA probe MESSENGER has finally reached the planet Mercury. The probe entered orbit around the planet, the closest to the sun, on Thursday. NASA hopes to get the MESSENGER's first pictures back later this month and begin the science phase of the mission in early April. NASA scientists said that although Mercury is relatively close to the Earth, comparatively little is known about it. For the first time in history, a scientific observatory is in orbit about our solar system's innermost planet, said MESSENGER principal investigator Sean Solomon. Mercury's secrets and the implications they hold for the formation and evolution of Earth-like planets are about to be revealed.
Mercury's secrets are going to be revealed starting now.
And
secret number one, Mercury had an affair in 1978.
Secret number two, Mercury is actually Phil Knight.
Secret number three, Mercury actually resides in Pomona, California.
Secret number four, Mercury is entirely made out of Jell-O.
Secret number five, there is no planet Mercury.
Speaking of space, the first humanoid robot ever launched into space is finally free. Astronauts at the International Space Station unpacked Robonaut on Tuesday, 2.5 weeks after its arrival via Shuttle Discovery. NASA broadcast the unveiling ceremony on Wednesday. American Catherine Coleman and Italian Paolo Nespoli pried off the lid of the robot's packing box as though they were opening a coffin. TV cameras showed lots of foam inside, but no robot. It's like unearthing a mummy, radioed a payload controller.
Where's the O?
And then Coleman said, well, at least the mummy would be here. We just have an empty box where Robonaut is supposed to be. Robonaut, also known as R2, was spotted a minute later at the front of the workstation. I'd like to introduce you to the newest member of our crew, Coleman said. We're going to see what Robonaut can do.
Well, there Robonaut is. I hope this will all work out.
Then apparently the payload controller asked if Robonaut was related to HAL from 2001 A Space Odyssey, and Coleman said, since we found him already controlling the space station, we're sure he's related to HAL, but we'll see.
Then everyone died.
I guess so, yeah. And then in a Twitter update, because Robonaut is on Twitter, he updated, check me out, I'm in space.
Robonaut is a moron.
Robonaut is kind of stupid.
That's hugely disappointing. I mean,
when Robonaut's tweets are not as interesting as Kanye West's.
No, it turns out that Robonaut isn't even interesting as like one of the tight ends for the New York Giants or something, like Jeremy Shockey's tweets.
Robonaut's actual first tweet should have just said, winning!
Speaking of robots. So there's a metal show at the Wonder Ballroom tomorrow night, 8 p.m., put on by Beer and Movie, the festival that I run, called Metal House. And Metal House is being hosted by a 9-foot animatronic talking robot from Oakland named Killbot.
Is that name actually indicative of what...
It's indicative of his interest.
He does?
He does not kill, but he wants to.
Oh.
He speaks instead.
It's far more interesting than a robot.
Yeah. Is he on Twitter?
Killbot is not on Twitter. Killbot is far too smart for Twitter.
How does a giant animatronic robot host a show, by the way?
He introduces the bands.
Oh, okay.
Makes commentary.
Interesting.
Waves menacingly from his 9-foot perch at the crowd.
Okay. And where's the movie part of this?
There isn't one, really. But there is, actually. There's a...
But it's part of the Beer and Movie Festival.
Yeah, there actually is a movie aspect to this in that in the downstairs of the Wonder Ballroom, we're doing a curated...
Porn.
No, actually, well, close. We're showing a curated 9-foot... a curated 3-hour loop of footage of hookers from Hollywood films.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The show is called Hookers.
Okay. So there's a whole thematic sort of thing.
There is, yeah.
Okay.
I did find Robonaut on Twitter.
Did you?
Yeah, if you go to twitter.com/Robonaut2, number 2, you'll find him.
Does he have anything?
One of his tweets is, I'm here to help the mankind. Smiley face. This world is very different where I came from, but it's okay.
Here on Space Shuttle, I send the tweets.
Well, it's cool.
Where I come from, the tweets send you.
It's awesome because he has all of the classic Twitterisms down, like as though he's like a 12-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love to tweet and the Twitter.
I hate Robonaut.
I do too.
Robonaut should die.
Yeah,
that's
I was created by NASA and GM. Now you know why they're finding those rubber hand grenades.
Goddamn corporate flunky Robonaut.
That is.
I mean, he's stupid looking too. I mean, he's really stupid
looking.
Yeah,
he is stupid looking. He looks a little. What was the little round headed guy on Buck Rogers? Like Twinkie?
Twinkie.
Yeah,
beady, beady.
He looks a little like that, only taller.
I cannot tell you how much I dislike Robonaut.
He has 717 followers. That means there's 717 stupid people in the world.
No.
And now there's 718.
F Robonaut.
I still have more. I have more followers than Robonaut, though, so I'm winning.
Winning!
So,
winning.
Okay. I had something else here that was... Oh, yes. This weekend brings the biggest full moon seen in nearly 20 years, but experts are discounting predictions of earthquakes associated with the event. The moon's orbit is elliptical, and as it follows its path, one side... There's this whole thing here where it explains why there's a full moon. Do I need to explain that?
No.
Okay, thank you. A fellow named Jeffrey White...
Maybe you should explain it to Robonaut, who I don't think understands these concepts.
What full moon?
Robonaut like the full moon.
Moon full. Robo not happy.
Drink Pepsi. Jeffrey Wyatt from the City Observatory says this upcoming full moon, which NASA's website says will be of rare size and beauty, will rise at about 8 p.m. AED time. AED time. I don't know which time that is. I don't know the AEDT. I know the PST and the... EST, no.
Okay. If you replace the words full moon with my ass, it becomes a lot funnier.
It is a thing of rare size and beauty. but it becomes full on Sunday morning, 1 hour before the lunar perigee. So Sunday morning, those people who are up early or getting home super late, look to the west and you'll see the biggest moon for 18 years, said the guy in Sydney. The last time the moon, full moon, or Aaron's ass, was so big and close to the Earth was March in 1993.
Exactly.
So...
And they say that's not going to cause earthquakes, which strikes me as perhaps being a bit late.
Well, I like it. They said that for a few weeks now, says Wyatt, we've been hearing people talk about Moonageddon. It's depressing to hear people say this sort of thing, he says. There's absolutely no evidence for a causal link between the phases of the moon and earthquake activity. It's something you might find in Tom's Backyard Mechanics Book of Celestial Tomfoolery. But you're not going to find that in peer-reviewed journals, he said. And then he says, people blame things on the alignment of the planets because they want an explanation, but it's not the moon's fault.
Oh, sure, just because you read it in old Uncle Mac's book of things he found when digging in the well.
Celestial Tomfoolery is actually, that's the name of my Pink Floyd cover band, by the way.
It sounds wonderful.
Thank you. This, of course, has been brought to you, this Science on the Mars, brought to you by Squires Electric, who've been in Portland for 12 years. They will offer free estimates, no job too large or too small. If it has anything to do with wire or wiring in your home or business, you should call Squires Electric. You can reach them at 503-252-1609 or online at squireselectric.com. Aaron Mesh, what you got for me?
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes.
Well, then.
Read something, won't you? Or Robert could read something. He's got
keystroke air condemned UK mum to premature death. Mum is nice.
Yeah.
Condemned UK mum to premature death from cancer, court rules. A British mother died prematurely from breast cancer because of a single keystroke error by staff at a doctor's surgery, according to a high court ruling reported by the Times of London overnight. Two letters informing the single mother to attend urgent hospital appointments were sent to the wrong address because the number of her home was typed as 16 instead of 1B. As a result, her cancer was not diagnosed until a year later, by which time it had spread to her bones and only palliative care was possible.
And
I could keep reading this, but it's actually really depressing.
It's very depressing.
I chose it at random.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron.
Legion of depressing news.
Jesus.
I didn't know that science news was over.
Oh. Well, it is. It's over.
Yeah.
So stop with the depressing science news.
So this is sort of like science news.
It's kind of.
Science news. You're going to die.
By the way, I do have a message here in the chat box. Someone asks, Robonaut 2, What happened to Robonaut 1? Did it kill somebody and need to be turned off?
Sadly, it's not that exciting. Robonaut 1 was actually already taken on Twitter, so they had to go for the next one, hence the R2.
Yeah, Robonaut 1 is a 12-year-old who uses that as his World of Warcraft handle. So,
A Mona Lisa made out of bread is one of the many many displays that will be featured at the Carnegie Visual and Performing Arts Center's Art of Food exhibit. Klosterman Baking Company donated 50 loaves of bread for the display, which was created by artist Eric Brass. Art of Food runs from March 11th to April 15th at the Carnegie Visual and Performing Arts Center. The Art of Food is Carnegie Visual and Performing Arts Center's annual exhibition of artistic culinary creations by visual artists and top chefs from the area. Artists use food as their inspiration to create works of art. Chefs use their creative powers to display unique dishes that are artistic and eatable for guests to enjoy.
Like a Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa.
Made out of bread.
Yeah, so if you've ever really just wanted to eat up Mona Lisa, here's your chance.
There should be a scented candle that
there
is Mona Lisa scented.
Why Mona Lisa, though? You know, I mean, does it have to be fine art? Couldn't we make, I don't know, J-Lo?
It shows a lack, I think, of imagination, really, because people think, you know, fine art, and then they immediately think of, say, you know, the Mona Lisa. And that's so cliched. I mean, you can make, if you're going to make, you're going to recreate a piece of art out of, you know, bread. You mm-hmm. could basically do anything, couldn't you? So do like
Rodin's The Kiss.
Yeah, yes, it's molded out of
molded out of wet bread.
You know, Van Gogh's Starry Night. Do a Lichtenstein. Do something that people aren't going to expect. Mona Lisa. It's like, please. That's what I say.
Wasn't there already a Mona Lisa toast?
Do Saturn eating his children by Goya?
I think there was. It was there was, you know, I think, and really the Mona Lisa on toast is kind of just a variation on the Virgin Mary thing on toast.
Or Jesus without the beard and mustache.
Right.
Yeah.
What if the Mona Lisa was Jesus without a beard and mustache? It's a Da Vinci Code.
Ooh.
Hmm. Yeah. That's not science news.
No, that's not. This is a first, according to the person who wrote this thing that I'm reading. A new ABC News Washington Post survey finds that a majority of Americans think gay marriage should be legal. According to the poll, 53% of Americans now support same-sex marriage, while 44% think it should be outlawed. I love the use of the word outlaw in that, though. Like, you know, like they're going to just, like, send out posses.
When gays are outlaws, outlaws will be gays.
This is a slight.
There is room in this town for the two of us.
And in the sleeping bag. I'm just saying words now, apparently. This is a slight but significant shift from a 2010.
Well, hey there, Phil. Throw down that box.
These findings are also keeping in with other polls, according to Talking Points memo. CNN and Pew Research recently reported that the public was pretty much split on the issue. Oh, we never closed the door. That's interesting. Several weeks ago, the White House announced it would no longer stand behind the Defense of Marriage Act, which blocks the government from recognizing gay marriage in states where it's legal.
All right.
There you go.
A student who was being stalked for his sandwich wrestled an ibis to the ground and stomped on it until the bird was so badly injured it had to be put down. A court has been told.
Please, tell us more.
Andrew Kwei Kwi Meng, 25. Pleaded guilty in the Brisbane Magistrates Court today in Australia to one count of animal cruelty on March 1st. The court was told Kwei Kwi Meng had been eating a sandwich in Brisbane South Bank Parklands when the bird, quote, stuck up from behind, unquote, and jumped onto his table. Kwei Kwi Meng threw his food down, wrestled the bird to the ground, and stomped on it 5 times. The court was told the bird's wing was shattered and a blow to its neck caused it such difficulty in breathing that it had to be put down.
Oh, God.
Kwei Kwi Meng's lawyer, Sue Ganison, told the court the Singapore-born law student lashed out at the ibis because he was once attacked by a large crow and had been frightened of Australian birds ever since.
Only Australian birds.
Only the Australian ones.
Oh.
However, she said he accepted his response was excessive and he was remorseful. Magistrate, I'm reading this whole story, it's too good. Magistrate John Costello said onlookers would have been, quote, appalled by the attack, but said Kuei Wing Meng's youth, guilty plea, and lack of criminal history meant he would not receive a jail sentence. He also agreed not to record a conviction after being told it would adversely affect Kuei Wing Meng's chances of employment.
I can't.
He received community service.
Oh, good. I can't really blame him, I think, though. Because
ibises are a little freaky.
Well, and I remember being a kid and going, as children do, going to, like, petting zoos. And you ever have a thing where you feel something tugging at your shirt and you turn around and a freaking goat is, like, eating your clothes? And you have to, like, pull your shirt out of the goat's throat because they've already started swallowing it. And I swear, as a child, I just wanted to punch the goat. If I could have stomped the goat, I would have stomped the goat. So I could see being snuck up on by an ibis while I'm eating the sandwich. I might get a little stompy.
Could be upsetting.
It could be. An act of honesty is sure to place one local fast food worker in the running for Employee of the Year. Wednesday morning, Jeremiah Carey turned in a purse full of cash he found in the bathroom of a Carl's Jr. in Grand Junction, Colorado. Carey is part of a work release program after doing time for burglarizing safes and manufacturing counterfeit money. But Carey and his manager say he's a changed man. I think it's a really good program I'm in, and it's giving me a chance to prove to everyone, like I did today, that people can change and be rehabilitated. The Carl's Jr. manager says he's very proud of Carey. The purse's owner was apparently carrying the money around because it was her mother's and she had just passed away. And I guess she found it under the mattress or something. The woman returned to the Carl's Jr. this afternoon and gave Carey a $50 reward, but Carey says he turned that over to his manager as well. Well, now he's just a sap.
Aww.
He
then went back to making hamburgers at Carl's Jr.
The job
he'd always dreamed of.
He found $5,000, and he gave it back and then went back to working at Carl's Jr.
What's America coming to?
I'm not saying he's a hero, because what's a hero?
Someone who locks up children.
In cages. Or a guy who stomps an ibis because it's after his sandwich.
I'm not saying that man's a hero either. I leave that to you.
Thank you. If dumping water in damaged nuclear reactors fails to contain leaking radiation... To get on a less happy subject. Japanese engineers conceded today it may be necessary to bury the entire plant in sand and concrete, a strategy similar to the concrete sarcophagus built around Chernobyl in 1986. Still, it's a last resort, and officials hope that power will be restored to water cooling pumps by Sunday. It's not impossible to encase the reactors in concrete, said an official from the plant operator, but our priority right now is to try and cool them down first. On Friday, Japan's Nuclear Safety Agency upgraded the severity of the disaster from a 4 to a 5 on the international scale, putting it on par with the 1979 Three Mile Island meltdown and two levels below the Chernobyl disaster. Next.
What is the scale? Just out of curiosity, does anybody know that, or is that just, it's a 4 to a 5 now, it's at a 5. Well, is it a 5 scale, is it a 10 scale, is it a 100 scale? How would we know?
I don't know.
Am I supposed to look that up? They don't provide this information?
Is it like how fast it will melt your eyeballs out of your head?
How painful are you going to, yeah. Is your death going to be?
Is it how far people will be damaged,
yes,
from the site?
In what, thousands of miles, hundreds of miles?
Do we recalibrate like the scale when something like Chernobyl happens and we go, okay, let's call that a 5. And so now everything like less than that. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, but I want more division than that, though. I mean, a 5 is just, it's not enough. I mean, because then is it a 4? It's about a 4.2. Well, why not just make it a 100 scale then and call this a 63? You know what I mean?
See, yeah.
A 5 scale, it's like DEFCON, you know, defense condition. And that's like backwards, I think. Like in movies, they reverse it or
they
something.
Do. So they,
it
sound, they do that backwards.
Yeah, it sounds more intense if it's DEFCON 5, but that's supposed to be actually the real, that's
right.
The good one, right?
Yeah, DEFCON 1 is when it's bad. It counts low from it counts backwards. Yeah, it starts. DEFCON 5, not so bad. DEFCON 1 is when you're supposed to be worried.
Oh, yeah, you're hiding under your desk at that point, hopefully. Yeah, see, so it's, I don't know. It doesn't seem like enough.
No.
I mean, things could be worse in between.
That's true. I keep that just kind of like, it's like that scale, the line of happy and sad faces they give you at the doctor to ask you how much pain you're in. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, I think.
And why not, why not use that?
You just have to kind of guess.
Why not use that? I mean, because that's international. The stupid, you know, 1 to 5 scale, that doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
instead of like the person looking like angry and unhappy and in pain, they could look terrified. And then finally 10 would be like their head is melting.
Skin peeling off the skull and glowing a greenish blue.
And you can look at the scale and see the about 8 or something. It's like, well, I just have like big oozing boils.
Yeah.
So I'll say I'm like at a 7.5.
I'll make it. I'll just be disfigured for life.
Yes.
It's okay.
by the way, a listener asks in the text box, are you guys effing stoned? It totally sounds like it. So,
wasn't that the point?
Yeah.
Are you telling me that they are disappointed with the quality of the Legion of News? Is that the idea, or is that like a compliment?
Oh, Pone Tony says that the scale of 1 to whatever for the thing is based on how many of your internal organs you will shit out.
Okay.
So.
I could live with that. I can live with that. I mean, you know, as long as I keep, you know, the few good remaining ones.
Yeah.
Well, Emmerweek reports there are now at least 3 investor lawsuits pending against U.S. gold and silver.
Which media outlet? Aaron Mesh?
The one I work for. A Portland precious metals firm that claims to have been serving investors since 1972. The total damages claimed in the 3 lawsuits add up to almost $1 million. There are a couple of perplexing issues swirling around the cases. First, it does not appear that U.S. gold and silver was registered with either the Commodities Futures Trading Commission or with state or federal securities regulators. The lack of registration makes it difficult to determine how many investors U.S. gold president Lawrence Heim had or how much money investors placed with him. In the Multnomah County court case, Vancouver investor Donald Fazio seeks $200,000 from U.S. gold and silver. He invested with U.S. gold in October, according to his lawsuit. Unlike other investors, he wanted to take delivery of his gold coins right away, but said Haim took his check and never came up with the gold.
Haim!
This basically is why you should never invest with anybody who advertises on the Glenn Beck Show.
Well, yeah. God. I have nothing to say to that other than I have nothing. Every time I hear a story about somebody just being an idiot, it's hard for me to like feel sorry for them. Like, you know, old people being taken by ridiculous scams. It's like, what happens? You like, you know, you're over 70 and you just become stupider than you were before.
Mr. Fazio took out his frustration on a nearby ibis.
And then promptly fell
and then
on the toilet. Toilet paper dispenser.
Here we have a good one for Mr. Wagner. I just want to hear him read this out loud.
It says in big pink letters at the top, penis.
Well, I was going to use it as a penis watch for the Rick Emerson Show later, but I've said it.
Oh, I thought that was down. Some kind of code for me.
that was to let me know that I wanted you personally to read it.
Okay.
I just wrote penis on it.
Then what are you saying about Aaron over here?
Well,
he doesn't get a penis?
No, it's his ass is a thing of rare beauty.
Well,
and
okay.
Size.
And
what's your anatomical thing?
Boobs.
Okay, well, now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
A drunk New Zealander has admitted to flailing his exposed penis like a helicopter in front of several hundred patrons at the DY beachfront after repeatedly being kicked out of a nearby bar. Flailing his exposed penis like a helicopter.
Like a helicopter.
Oh, okay, I understand now. Adam Tewake, a 30-year-old laborer from DY, was initially asked to leave the Deck 23 restaurant and bar on the evening of Sunday, January 30th, after the venue's hostess observed him to be highly intoxicated. 10 minutes after the New Zealand national was escorted out of the bar and told not to come back, he was again spotted inside the venue, sitting amongst a table of strangers. When he was told to leave for a second time, he stood up and, quote, grabbed his groin area. repeatedly before walking away, kicking and breaking the rear indicator of a parked car as he left. Maybe he had an earlier trauma in life with a parked car and decided, I need to crush this parked car.
There were no ibises available.
No. The 30-year-old then walked directly opposite deck 23, pulled his penis out, and swung it in a helicopter-type manner in full view of around 300 people enjoying their Sunday meals and drinks at sunset. Police arrived to find him again trying to get back into the venue, whose hostess had contacted officers about his behavior. He then told police he was going back inside to get his girlfriend and tried to push past the two officers, struggling with one of the constables and, quote, flinging his arms in a reckless manner. Not necessarily a helicopter type manner, though.
No, just recklessly.
Officers eventually wrestled him to the ground in front of Deck 23, reportedly to a loud cheer from watching punters. He pleaded guilty to 5 charges, including willful and obscene exposure in a public place, when he appeared in court last Wednesday. He was fined a total of $2,700.
I think the most impressive thing about that story is that apparently his penis was large enough to be rotated in a helicopter-like manner.
Well, either he's swinging it so fast that it gives the impression that, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
Or he actually has 2.
Okay.
Or perhaps did that...
I'm also thinking many men, when they are in what we refer to as the flaccid state, are not of particularly impressive size. So it would be hard to actually get enough, you know, rotation going.
So it's like whoop, 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 instead of whoop.
Right. it would be more like the tiny little fan in the back of your laptop
or
something.
Right?
Yeah. I just don't see how I could get any real swing from something like that. It would just more like you were flopping it about, really.
You need to meet a better class of man.
You know, most of the men I know are growers, not showers.
Well, 300 people witnessed this guy.
Yeah. Okay, do you have your entertainment news ready to go there, Aaron
ready
Mesh?
And waiting.
Ready? Well then, let's do a little entertainment news.
James Taylor broke his leg.
Oh no!
And suffered a shoulder injury while skiing in Utah, the Associated Press reports. The singer-songwriter has since reportedly resumed skiing on vacation, thanks to a splint.
Oh, thank God.
No other details of his injury are known at this time, and no one knows if it involves a steamroller.
You know, he's seen fire and rain.
He's seen sunny days that he thought would never end.
Never, never end. I just hope we can get to see him again.
Actor Michael Madsen was found in contempt of court, and a bench warrant was taken out for him after he missed a court date on March 2nd intended to resolve his spousal and child support debts. His ex-wife, Janine Madsen, is reportedly claiming that he owes her $570,000 in payments.
Holy moly.
But the actor's lawyer, entertainment attorney, Percy C. Wander... calls that figure outrageous and completely incorrect.
By way of mounting a defense, just basically had Madsen come into court and turn his pockets wrong side out and make a sad face.
Like a clown.
By the way, he is one of those actors that his personal life and travails have just kind of made me sad, because I really, really loved him as an actor so much, and to see that he's just sort of a self-destructive boob is disappointing.
It's a letdown.
And saddening.
Winning.
Yes. The problem is I didn't really like Charlie Sheen much before, so watching him self-destruct is just kind of amusing. At least it was amusing for about a day and a half, and then it got boring, and I was tired of it like most of America and moved on to something else.
Speaking of which... Billy Ray Cyrus says on today's interview with The View, and by today I believe they mean yesterday, that he is going to repair his relationship with wife Tish Cyrus.
Oh, I knew those crazy kids could make it work.
Oh, thank God.
Says Billy Ray Cyrus, I've dropped the divorce. I want to put my family back together. Things are the best they've ever been.
Are they achy-breaky good? I bet they're not that
I
good.
I feel like I got my Miley back. I feel like we're the daddy and daughter we were before Hannah Montana.
Oh, I think...
Then off Billy Ray Cyrus went to have sex with animals.
Oh, that phrase right there, I think I got my Miley back. That could be the new That's So Raven.
It could be.
We just turned that into a catchphrase.
I feel like we're the daddy and daughter we were before Hannah Montana.
But with a lot more money.
Oh, God. I feel like I got my Miley back. Just saying.
I want to swing my Miley around like a helicopter.
I'm going to stomp my Miley because it tried to steal my sandwich. Mm.
Liam Neeson is set to star in Taken 2.
Yay!
Wait a minute.
Just wanted you to know that one more time.
You know, though, it will probably suck because of the law of diminishing sequels and all that. But I loved his character in Taken. I really did.
Oh, very much.
I loved just crazy, kicking ass, killing everyone in his path across Europe, Liam Neeson. I enjoyed that.
I love that movie. But how is it retaken? I mean, how does she get taken again?
Taken again.
Oh, yeah. Who are they going to take this time?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, how much can you actually like this character if he's irresponsible enough to really let this happen again?
Yeah. That's true. It's kind of like the speed movies. Maybe they'll just have to keep finding, instead of different vehicles that get out of control, they'll have to find different members of his family.
Yeah.
Like this one, he'll remarry or something, and it'll be his wife. And then in Taken 3, it'll be like a third cousin. You know, eventually it'll just be neighbors, people he meets at the coffee place. You know, his favorite barista will be taken.
A puppy. Just a puppy.
An ibis.
How can you stop that ibis?
that's your Liam Neeson, isn't it?
That's Liam Neeson voice, yeah.
You took that ibis. And then you stopped it.
My God, it's like he's here in the room with us.
Isn't it, though? They always warn me, don't do impressions. Aaron, don't do the impressions.
That's
nice. Neil LaBute's play Fat Pig, which was planned to open at Broadway's Belasco Theater this spring, has been postponed until next season due to a lack of financing. In a statement, producers said, "It's our dream to keep this terrific cast and stunning creative team intact as we work to reschedule Fat Pig for next season." The current financial situation did not leave adequate time to maintain the integrity of the show.
Of Fat Pig. The integrity of Fat Pig.
And its marketing campaign. This play deserves to be seen on Broadway, and we remain very much committed to that goal.
There's not enough misogyny on Broadway right now, so we need a little more.
I've actually read the play Fat Pig, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Neil LaBute, as much as I personally am not a fan of the characters in his works,
they're not nice people.
They are not nice people, and I always feel like I need a shower after I
would actually argue that the characters in Fat Pig are more representative of the human race than most of the figures he's portrayed before. Perhaps
but he
less dyspeptic.
A very, very good screenwriter.
But it's still funny to hear the phrase Fat Pig.
Yeah.
Black Swan filmmaker Darren Aronofsky has decided not to direct the Wolverine sequel.
Oh. I was actually kind of looking forward to that because I thought, wow, that, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Because it would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Says Aronofsky, "As I talked more about the film with my collaborators at Fox, it became clear that the production of The Wolverine would keep me out of the country for almost a year.
Plus, I realized that they thought they were talking to a completely different guy when they considered hiring me.
I was not.
They had never seen any of my previous movies before.
This has a great punchline at the end of this, okay. By the way. I was not comfortable being away from my family for that length of time. I am sad that I won't be able to see the project through, as it is a terrific script, and I was very much looking forward to working with my friend Hugh Jackman again." Aronofsky and Jackman worked together on The Fountain.
Did he see the first Wolverine movie?
Darren Aronofsky has never seen a movie.
Really?
That's one of his secrets.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How does he know when he's done, then?
How does he know what
How
it's supposed to look
How does any man know
like?
When he's done?
Well, usually somebody says, "Get off me."
I'm pretty sure that's how it works for Darren Aronofsky's films as well.
And we've learned a little bit about Robert Wagner here today as well.
We have.
The fountain. I've had some issues. I had an actual Twitter fight with Aaron Duran, of all people, one day, because he just made this bold statement that the fountain was terrible. And I really, really love the fountain, but I know there are a lot of... I've met a lot of people that found it... bafflingly found it difficult to follow. And I don't know, is it just...
I didn't find it difficult to follow. I hate everything Darren Aronofsky has ever done.
Do you really?
Yes, very much so.
Interesting, because I'm a huge fan of Darren Aronofsky.
He is probably my least favorite working filmmaker.
Wow. The things you learn... And cause you and I actually usually agree.
Yeah, we usually agree on things.
Pretty interesting. What do you know? Okay, that's all of our entertainment news now that we've learned that Aaron Bash is wrong about...
Oh, I'm wrong about lots of things, but not about Darren Aronofsky.
A bank robber who abided by a Dallas teller's request to provide two forms of identification before she could give him the money is going to prison. A judge sentenced 49-year-old Nathan Wayne Pugh to more than 8 years on Tuesday. Pugh tried to hold up a Dallas Wells Fargo bank in July. The teller stalled Pugh by telling him she needed to see two forms of ID. Pugh showed her his Wells Fargo debit card and a state identification card. He was captured as he tried to flee with $800. Pugh pleaded guilty in October to a bank robbery charge. He's also already on parole for two aggravated robberies.
A British man had surgery to reattach his testicles after his girlfriend allegedly bit them off.
Oh.
The Daily Mirror reported yesterday. Maria Georgiana Topp, 43 years old, appeared in court accused of carrying out the horrific attack on her boyfriend Martin Douglas, 45, in Newcastle, Northern England.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas had to call emergency services himself after the incident, but was in so much pain operators could not understand what he was saying. He needed emergency surgery and had to spend several days in the hospital recovering from the attack. The story goes on, but yeah, once again... I haven't even done the story about the woman dying of cancer who is suing the court over the anal fissures.
No. Well, you know, you can't get to everything.
Really. You've handed me a joyous pile today.
The thing is, with some of the technical issues that we had with the show this week, and working with new people and me, you know, I tend to have my own system for doing these things. I've managed to acquire quite a stack of news that didn't, you know, no one got to. Over the last four or 5 days.
With the exception of the Ibis story, on some of these I can see why no one chose them.
But you're also getting a little bit of an idea of, you know, what I look for when I am gleaning news stories.
It's good to get a sense of your news value.
Well, I want to just take a moment here at the end of the show to thank everybody for bearing with us and listening this week through Hell and High Water. If you were listening live yesterday and did not get a chance to hear the show because all there was white noise and static and such, you can download yesterday's show from the interwebs. There is the Legion of News site here on Cascadia.fm. There's also a Legion of News area at rickemerson.com. It's also available on iTunes. Yesterday was David Walker and I doing the news, and we did record it, and so it is available for download. It just wasn't available live. I want to thank Robert Wagner for being here, fixing things and helping and being just generally awesome in every way.
And smelling nice.
Yes, and smelling nice. And Aaron Mesh for reading the news.
It has been a wonderful day.
That's it. So, I lost my piece of paper with the stuff. Here we go. There we are. Legion of News comes to you each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk today was Aaron Mesh. We were joined by special guest Robert Wagner. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler. Chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. We will now be, I will be doing a little bit over at rickemerson.com and with Aaron Mesh. And until then, see you next week. Bye.
Bye.